Will you bow in prayer with me? Eternal Father, the God who is God, I am that I am. What a privilege to come before you this morning and worship you as the author and finisher of our salvation. Because of your great grace and your great mercy, because of your love, because of your compassion for us, we can come to you and say, Father, how blessed we are because of your goodness to us. And we thank you for all that you have done for us and will continue to do because of your faithfulness, because of your goodness, because you are God. And our Father, we gather this morning, first of all, to worship you, to say thank you, to honor you for who you are. But we do thank you for your faithful servant, Bob, and all that he has brought to this church over the years. And we thank you for all that he has taught us, and we pray that you will continue to minister to him, strengthen him and Donna, and just watch over them. And we thank you because you have blessed us in so many different ways. We thank you for the birth of Jack Scheidler this week. And we thank you, Father, that you have brought him into a home that loves you, that serves you. And we know that he will be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it is our prayer that he will come to know you at an early age. Thank you, because you have given him godly parents and godly grandparents. And thank you, Father, for walking with others who have walked through the valley, who are suffering spiritually. Father, there are just so many different things, and you are faithful in all of them. And we pray for the encouragement and strength and perseverance that these folks would need to come through the fire and realize that in that time you have refined them. You have made them better, and they can serve you in a more effective way. Oh, Father, thank you for your great ministry. We pray that you'll continue to watch over those who are suffering this morning for whatever reason. We know that there are so many that are battling cancer, so many that are battling other things that will take so long to get over. And Father, they need to feel the presence of their Holy Father. Oh God, we pray that you'll minister to them. We pray for our land this morning. We pray that as your word is preached throughout this country by men who are faithful to your word, that you will honor it. We pray that your people will bow their knees in prayer to you and confess their sin, that they will turn their hearts to you and seek you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our Father, as we pray for revival in this land, we would ask you to help it begin in our own hearts. And so, Father, would you meet with each of us this morning? Would you remind us that all of us who are your children are your servants? And you have given us a task to complete. And there will come a time when you will return and we will give account. So, Father, we pray that you will help us take advantage of every day and to give you our very best as you have already given to us. Would you speak to our hearts now through the Holy Spirit? Would you just minister to us as only you can do? And we'll praise and honor and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is the desire, I think, of every Christian to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it will be an added bonus to hear him say, share in your master's joy. It is my belief that Bob will hear both statements. You've heard testimony from some of the leaders who've served with him over the years, and I know that many of you could share testimonies that reveals how Bob's faithfulness to his Savior has blessed your life. The truth is that a true servant never really completely retires. Bob is not just giving everything up, he just won't be as active. He's going to continue to teach his class. I think, aren't you going to continue to? I know they're glad to hear that. He won't serve communion every Sunday or every time we have it, but he's always welcome to do that. You don't have to come to leadership meetings anymore. So all you can stay home and pray for us from your recliner. If you ask any of us, though, we'll tell you you're always invited to come meet with us, always. Just after I came here, I invited all the leadership to meet with me one-on-one and fellowship and prayer. And every Wednesday morning for the last 13 and a half years, with very few exceptions, Bob has come and we've met together for fellowship and for prayer. That's just the highlight of the week. I've learned so much from the man. For that, I thank you. We've all learned from his wisdom and his heart of service for the Lord. I just want to take a few moments. Look into this passage of Scripture this morning that tells us a couple of things about a good and faithful servant. And the first thing we notice is the Savior's respect. One writer says, "The master's well done is the greatest reward a loyal servant could hope for." We don't often speak of respect coming from the Lord to his servants, do we? We more often speak about the respect that we owe him. But the Lord does respect his servants. Would you go with me to the Gospel of John, please, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I'm looking at verse 20. It says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. And then came Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request, 'Sir, we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip returned to Jesus." Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." An interesting statement from the Lord. The truth is that anyone who gives their life in service to God the Son will at some point be honored by God the Father. Back in Psalm 91, David makes an interesting observation. In Psalm 91, he says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." And the one who lives, that man who lives, or that person who lives in verse 1, will be the recipient of all that God provides according to the things that are listed in this psalm, and of course, many more. In verse 15, David writes, this man who lives in verse 1, God says, "He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Again, you notice that the person who receives respect and honor from God is the one who both honors and respects God. And if you follow your chain reference through your Bible and study this topic, you will discover that God bestows honor and respect upon those whose way of life demonstrates they respect and honor God in their daily living. And when any true Christian, but especially a recognized leader in one of God's local churches, lives their life in such a way that others know they respect and honor God, Paul says, that person then is above reproach. And as Dale said, that fits. Bob is a great role model to all of us who love the Savior, and a great role model of how to live for Him. The Savior's respect, though, comes in response to the servant's reliability. Jesus says the servant is good and faithful. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament defines the word good as an adjective that expresses the significance or excellence of a thing or person. Now, from a biblical viewpoint, good means pleasing to God when it's talking about man and what man does. If you say that person is a good person, it means they do things, their life is characterized by things that are pleasing to God. And the word takes on kind and good when it refers to God. God's goodness and God's kindness go together. God's kindness is how He demonstrates His goodness to us. Paul says to the Romans in chapter 4 and verse 2 that it is God's kindness and His patience together that give us time to repent. God wants us to take care of that here. In the New Testament, Jesus declares only God is good. God demonstrates His goodness towards all men in salvation. Every human being born, you know, has the opportunity to be saved. And it's because God is demonstrating His goodness toward all people. God's goodness is always demonstrated to all people everywhere. You remember Jesus said, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He causes His sun to rise on both the godly and the ungodly. Even those who hate the Lord, even those who don't believe there is a God, receive blessing from Him, and one day that will be identified as blessing, and oh, the loss that they will feel. God's goodness is a blessing to us. A reliable servant is a person who first of all has come to Christ for salvation. Beloved, you cannot have a relationship until you establish that relationship with God as His adopted child. Everybody is born with a relationship to God, but we are all born as enemies of God. And a servant of God is one who begins a proper relationship by coming to Christ for salvation. Second of all, that same individual has established Christ as the Lord and Master of all their life. The entire thing belongs to God, and they say, here it is, you do with it as you will. And that's pleasing to me. I like that idea. Jesus not only declares the servant to be good, He declares the servant to be faithful. Interesting word, faith. It takes up a great deal of space in biblical literature, in theology manuals, everything. Faith is a great topic in Scripture. In the Old Testament, in the most fundamental way you can define it, faith is always how man reacts to what God does. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. Deuteronomy 7, 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Your God has chosen you out of all the people on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. God's actions, everything that he did for Israel, was his own choosing. He did it because he wanted to. His love and his care for Israel were a physical demonstration of that. And his faithfulness is seen throughout all of history because God always keeps his covenants. He always keeps his promises. And he is always quick to respond to those who follow him with blessing. Men also learn when God, man also learns when he disobeys God that God withholds blessing. And that is viewed as punishment or discipline. In the New Testament, everything Jesus did was a visible demonstration of faith by his own perfect, sinless obedience to his heavenly Father. He was the perfect, faithful servant. Anything about Jesus' life, everything about it was his response to what God said. What was that, if you were going to put that in a sentence? He tells us. He says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. And I do it because he asks me to do it. He said, I don't do what I want to. I do what he wants me to. And that's a pretty good philosophy for us. Do you do what God wants you to do? And do you do it because he wants you to do it? You see, we do that in response to the great gift of salvation. If we understand it at all, then our life is a life that demonstrates our faithfulness, what I do or how I react to what God does. Now, the best definition of a faithful servant comes from Jesus himself. In John 12, he says, whoever loses his life and whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Watch. In the New Testament, Faith is how a man reacts to what God has done at Calvary. You see, in the Old Testament, God said this, I will bring a redeemer. A redeemer is coming. In the New Testament, in the person of Jesus Christ, God says, I have brought the redeemer. The redeemer is here. Now, how are you going to respond? And how you respond is, quite frankly, demonstrating how you believe or don't believe what God says to be truth. New Testament faith expresses itself in a life that knows it will spend eternity with Christ. Beloved, listen, listen. You all know there are only two ways to react to what God says. You can accept it and believe it, or you can deny it. And only when you say, I don't deny it, I'm thinking about it, I'm working on it, I'm trying to understand it. What you need to understand is that is denial. There is no middle of the road. And if you spend too long thinking about it, people will get to think about it forever in hell. The one thing that every human being must understand more than anything is you need a Savior. And you need Him now. When I got saved, I had a hard time finding Genesis. But I did believe that if God was a good God, He would save me if I asked Him to. And I'm very serious with you. That's about all I knew. So don't wait till you understand it. I don't know if you'll ever understand it. Don't wait till you've worked it through. You'll never get through working it. If you don't know the Savior, today is the day to meet Him. We would say that such a person as this is defined by a humble spirit that desires to live biblical truth and principle in their daily lives. They're more concerned about representing Christ as a proper ambassador of the kingdom than they are in exalting themselves and being concerned about things of this world. In the Old Testament, a slave was a slave in the sense that we think of a slave. But in the New Testament, in the light of salvation, a slave becomes a bond slave or a person who could be free and under their own authority, but chooses to remain a slave under the control of their master. And today, we would say, such a person is one whose daily life demonstrates that they're dedicated to walking in harmony with Scripture. And anyone who knows him well will tell you that Bob is a good and faithful servant. The Savior's respect and the servant's response to the Lord brings the servant's reward. There are perhaps several lessons to be gleaned here, but the point is the servant's perseverance for the entire time the master was gone is rewarded in a twofold manner. And first of all, the master's compliment was extraordinary. He says, "Well done." It's a simple compliment, but it carries a significant weight. Listen, listen, this man did not do the bare minimum to get by. This man excelled in all his work for the master. It's likely this servant spent extra time making sure the little small details were cared for to the fullest. He most likely spent time helping other workers in whatever way they needed it, and so on and so on. Sound like anybody you know? Now listen, there are a lot of people in this congregation that would fit that description. But that is one of the qualities that made Bob the good elder that he is. And it's noteworthy that all he did well. He paid attention to the details. And he did it to the best of his ability. Is that how you approach your ministry? Is that how you handle your salvation? Are you doing just what you have to do, hoping that people will think you're a godly individual? Do you look good when you have to look good? And so on? Or is it a way of life? Are you concerned about how the Lord thinks and how the Lord sees you when you're by yourself? When you're thinking by yourself, your thoughts, motives, the intents of your heart? Do you attend to the smallest details to make sure the kingdom work is done well? If so, you can be assured that your labor for the Lord is not in vain and you will be well rewarded. If, on the other hand, it's not, now's the time to make sure that you start the other way and do it well. The master's compliment was also extravagant. The good and faithful servant received much more than he had. Understand, God didn't just say, oh, by the way, here's a little bonus. God gave much more. Have you ever noticed that God always gives not just more, but much more? And we know God is a God of abundance and desires to share abundantly with us. And much of the time, it's our own slothfulness that forces God to take from us what little He's given us and give it to someone who will care for it and invest it wisely. You've heard today the testimony that Bob has faithfully invested himself into the ministry of God and that God has given him over many years. He has upheld the dignity and the honor of the office and represented the kingdom of God as a proper ambassador should. He's a good role model for all men. And he does have a great reward laid up for him. One of the best evidences of a man's heart for the Lord is his family. And Bob has three amazing children. And all of them not only know the Lord, all of them actively serve the Lord in their respective churches. And I think it's a testimony to the teaching when a grandson will stand and read Scripture. Thank you. Well done. He learned that somewhere. And God will bless you. Bob, thank you for being the testimony that you are. Could I get you and Donna just to kind of come up here for a minute, please? Could I get the guys to come up? That's perfect. They started out a cute couple and stayed that way, didn't they? Bob, we'd like to give you a certificate of honor. It says, this certifies that Bob Adams has attained special recognition for excellence in his ministry as an elder, and is hereby awarded this certificate by Baptist Christian Church, Rural Center, Indiana, on the second day of April, the year 2017. My brother, it is an honor to have served with you and to continue to serve with you. You are a blessing. And you take that. And Dale was right. Behind every faithful man, there's a faithful wife. And you have added so much to the ministry and continue to do so. We are blessed. Do you want to say something?
Well, yeah, I have got to say that I appreciate all the nice words this morning. That sounds great. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve all these years and all the blessings. And I tell you that you get a chance to serve in this church, do it. It's great. And I thank everybody for all you've done for me. And God bless you all.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Amen. Amen. Well deserved. Yep.
Sit down, Mark. Mm-hmm.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together as a family in Christ. We thank you for your infallible truth. And we thank you for all that it brings to us and that we can always trust it. And again, we thank you for the ministry of Bob as an elder, as Donna, and all that they have brought to this church over the years, and so many who have become devoted servants because of their testimony. We pray your continued blessing and guidance. Father, now it is our privilege to return to the mission field that you've assigned to us to be about the business of the Lord. We love you, Father. And we lift our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.